Welcome to Inner Circle, the premier softball podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric Lopez and Victor Anderson.
The kind of a coming out party for Caitlin Lee. Coach Smith says, I've never coached anybody like her. And her will to win, you can feel it up here in the booth. You can feel it if you're watching through the TV.
Caught at first. Hottie Toddy Ole Miss wins the SEC championship for the first time.
And there you heard it. The call from ESPN this past Saturday night at the SEC championship game. Beth Mowen says Ole Miss winning the SEC championship, knocking off LSU. This is In the Circle. I'm Eric Lopez alongside Victor Anderson. And joining us, the man who has danced on that field after the championship, the dance that's been talked about all over the place. I speak of course, of our assistant coach, Ruben Felix, who once again joins us on the show. Congratulations. What's it like now to have an SEC tournament champion onto your resume?
I'll tell you what, that's probably the biggest accomplishment so far for me, coaching women's softball for sure. This has been a big thrill for me and my family and, of course, the university, and us doing it for the first time ever, a number 8 seed, going all the way and winning the championship in the SEC tournament is pretty cool.
And you celebrate it by dancing on, which got hit social media. I'm sure you were not planning on that happening, but tell us the story on the background there where everybody was hitting up on social media there, your dance, little dance move there by the first base side.
Yeah, the girls, they had asked me what I would do if we won, and I said, you know what, I'll break up the breakdancing moves if we win, and I've done it a few times at the bowling alley, so obviously I got a slick surface at the bowling alley, so it works out, but they said, come on, you got to do it, we won, so I was like, all right, even if it's dirt, I guess I'm going to do it, because I promised you guys, so it was fun, man, it was a blast.
You getting it? How much feedback did you get over that?
Oh, a ton, I think I got like 200 more followers on Twitter, and it got retweeted like thousands of times, it's crazy.
Nice.
It's pretty cool.
So, like, do we get credit since we had you on before the year to preview the season? You win the SEC tournament, your first ever SEC championship in program history, going hosting for the first time. I think we should get at least, like, you know, a little slight, you know, good karma for you, right?
Of course. That was a good talk at the beginning. Good talk at the beginning of the year, and here we are now.
Take me through that week in Knoxville. You were the 8 seed. You had to open with Mississippi State. You win that game, then you face Florida, who you played in the regular season in Gainesville. They swept you. Lee was tremendous. Great pitcher's game. You play Alabama, and you beat LSU. A heck of a run. Just take me through that week and kind of how it happened.
Well, I mean, it all goes back to probably a month ago when we walked off twice against LSU. Here at home and swept them for the first time ever. Our kids, I think that was the turning point in our season where our kids, we pitched well, we played great defense, and we had good at-bats, something that early on in the SEC we're 0-6 and we weren't having good at-bats. And we had, you know, big team meeting, and our verbiage, our hitting verbiage philosophies, we went over it as a team, and we started working on that during practice, just getting back to what we're going to, you know, simplify and keep our hitting approach, you know, nice and simple, and, you know, attacking pitches we could attack. So it goes back to the LSU weekend, like I said. And after that, I think we won 4 of our next 6 series, which is really good because we beat, you know, Kentucky. We beat LSU. We swept them 2 out of 3 Kentucky. We went to Florida, got swept, but we had a chance to win a couple of those games. We had runners scoring position. We just didn't come through. And then we go to Missouri and beat them 2 out of 3. So it goes back to, like I said, that point in time when the kids believe that we're going to battle with everybody in the SEC and we belong. So it just carried over. And playing Mississippi State was a great way to open play with us because that's like the biggest rivalry ever here at this university. So us playing them got us fired up already and then just carried over into Florida.
And then you beat Florida. You jumped on them, scored two in the first, and Caitlin Lee made that make sure that that really would hold up. She was unbelievable through every game. Reminded me of the old school of Taryn Mowat throwing every game, and that's fitting because Taryn Mowat, of course, is the pitching coach over there. But what Caitlin Lee is the talk of the sport, dominating in the circle. What's clicked into her in her junior year?
I think she's just a kid that is not afraid of contact. I mean, she's got big time command. I think she reminds me a lot of, you know, like Greg Maddux of in Major League Baseball. He just had command of all his pitches and had a lot of guts and wasn't afraid of anybody. And that's what this kid has, along with the other pitchers that we have on staff. They just create a big competition between themselves. And when we inter squad and when we throw bullpens, I mean, those other four pitchers are pretty good also, but they're kind of the unsung heroes, you know, behind the scenes. But those other girls have been a big piece of the puzzle too, just adding to the pitching staff. You know, those kids have helped a lot too.
You beat Florida, then you get washed out on Friday. You got to play the semifinal early on Saturday. You win that over Alabama. You get to the championship game later that night against LSU. Lee throws both games and showed no signs of any wear or tear. Was there any doubt that she was going to throw both games? What was that day like, knowing that you've got to win two games to win a championship?
Yeah, I mean, we sat down as a staff and said, you know, we got to go with our horse. And for us, it was important to at least get a couple wins to have a shot at a regional. And obviously, when, you know, that last championship game was coming up and we beat Alabama that morning, we just said, you know what, we've gotten this far and she feels good, ready to go tonight. Why not? Let's go with her again. And, you know, Taryn being a girl that threw a bunch of games at Arizona all the time, we asked Lee how she felt about going in that night, and she said, I'm all for it, whatever the team needs. And, you know, she went out there and you know, pitched really well and gave us a chance to win. And we scored early, so I think, in especially in fast pitch softball, that's the key to building momentum is just scoring early. So we did that all four games, and I think that's what really propelled us, you know, to keep the lead. You know, once Lee has the lead, she's pretty good about staying focused and keeping us close.
And I thought that was an important message, you know, because in the sport now, and you know this being around it for a while, that everybody's going by staff. You know, everybody throws one game, it's trying to go the baseball model. And I thought the thing I liked about it is I think Lee showed that you could still be a pitcher and throw multiple games if you need to on a single day. And I feel like I know there's been some discouragement about that in the sport. But I thought that was refreshing because I kind of missed those days when Taryn used to do that on a regular basis, and I thought that was refreshing, and that was the kind of the thing that I will remember from that day.
Yeah. I mean, it's you know, like we said, we had a chance to make history and a chance to really push into a regional, which that was the number one goal when we started the season. We talked about our goal was to get our own regional here at home and at Ole Miss, and you know, the kids believed in it. We talked about it the whole year, and that was the goal, to get our own regional so we could have the home field advantage and the home crowd advantage. And I'm glad that we did what we had to do. Is just, we played well on, you know, all three sides of the ball. Defense, we pitched well, and we hit really well in clutch situations, and base ran really well. So we're doing pretty good, knock on wood, right now. Hopefully we carry it over into tomorrow.
You mentioned your goal to host a regional before the year. I remember you mentioning that when we had you on before the season. But when did you, as a staff, start thinking about this, about, hey, this is realistic? Maybe was it at any point during the SEC tournament you're like, you know, if we win this, we're going to host? When did that start crossing your mind as far as, you know, hey, we got a legit shot to host here?
Well, as soon as we beat Florida, that's when we knew, you know what, we got a shot, because we beat Alabama 3 out of 4 games. And then we also beat LSU. That was the fourth time we beat LSU this year. So, you know, we had that, you know, already on the plate that, you know, we just beat Alabama last week 2 out of 3. And, you know, if we win this Alabama game tonight, that'll be 3 out of 4. And then we can beat LSU for the fourth time. That gives us, you know, 7 big-time wins in the last 2 weeks of the season. So, as soon as we beat Florida, we knew we had a shot, because we measured up really well with with Alabama and LSU, you know, in the circle and on offense, you know, we're pretty much the same type of teams. Alabama, LSU, we're pretty much in the same range as far as the strength of the team.
So take me through Sunday. It's Selection Sunday. We get to that late night. Certainly it got off to a wacky start when Florida's bracket was announced and Minnesota didn't host and all that. But meanwhile, you guys are getting together. You're trying to find out if you're going to host or not. Take me through the emotions as you're watching this selection show and bracket by bracket, you know, unfold up until the moment where you see that you're hosting.
Yeah, I mean, it was electric. I mean, last year was pretty awesome. We had a good crowd of probably 100 people, and this year it was crazy. I mean, I think that Buffalo Wild Wing was to the max of the fire marshal would have showed up, we probably would have been in trouble. There's probably 500 people inside the Buffalo Wild Wings, and you know, as soon as we saw that Minnesota, you know, didn't get a regional and Alabama got one as a 16 seed, we're like, wow, we got a shot at hosting, because those teams are, you know, if Alabama got a 16 and we were in front of them and we did well this last month of the season, we have a legitimate shot. And when I saw your bracket the other day at 14, that's really where I thought we would be. No higher than a 14, or no higher than a 14 and 13, 14 range. And when we got a 12, the place erupted. I mean, we're jumping up and down like we just won, you know, the lottery.
And you did, and now you'll be hosting first time ever in program history. You'll be hosting this weekend. You've got Arizona State, North Carolina, and you open with Southern Illinois. Not an easy draw. Now, the question is, as a staff, everybody's patting these players on the back. What an accomplishment. What is there? Now, how do you turn their attentions and avoid a letdown? How do you tell them to refocus and say, hey, we got a regional. Now we're the target. We're the team that's hosting. We're the team that's got the digit right in front of us in North Carolina, Arizona State, and starting with Southern Illinois. They're going to be going after us.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we did let them know that, you know, that the focus is still to play like an underdog, because realistically, you know, we're not any better than anybody else on the field, just like we were last weekend. And we need to go in there with the focus and the, you know, be resilient like we have been the last, you know, the last month and a half of the season, and especially last weekend. So, yeah, you know, we celebrated the whole week, you know, the win and the championship and all that. But, you know, once we got, you know, to the first day of practice after the championship last weekend, we focused on the new goal was to win this weekend here at home and win and, you know, get to Sunday and be undefeated by Sunday.
And your thoughts on the region you got? You got a tough one. You got Southern Illinois, won the Missouri Valley. You've got North Carolina at large out of the ACC. They got an exciting freshman pitcher in Pickett. And, of course, Arizona State, a traditional power out of the Pac-12. I mean, this is an exciting regional. It's a nationally televised regional. I mean, the Scarborough will be working that regional, which means it's a big deal. What's the atmosphere like around the city of Oxford, and your thoughts on the teams in this regional?
I mean, it's crazy that we have free games the whole year. We don't charge for attendance. And obviously now being an NCAA tournament, you know, the NCAA charges people to come in. And I think they're saying that tickets went on sale at 8 a.m. and by 8:15, it was completely sold out. So, I mean, the city, I mean, it's crazy. We had hundreds and hundreds of people wait for us when we came back on Sunday. We went over to baseball. They were playing A&M, and we got standing ovation for probably 5 minutes as we carried the trophy into the stadium at baseball. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, people are just talking softball everywhere. Our athletic director says, you know, in our meeting the other day with as a staff, the whole athletic department was in there, and now we're known as a softball school across the country instead of just baseball and football and basketball. So it's pretty crazy. And there's so many people that are trying to come into Oxford. The hotels went from $150 to $400 a night. I mean, it's crazy. It's like a football weekend here. It's crazy.
How are the stands going to be like? Because I know you draw what we were talking off air. What do you draw about 1,500? And you got to exceed more people now in demand.
Yeah. Right now, for the last 3 or 4 days, since we've been back, they've been working on putting extra stands everywhere you could think of across the street, Wrigley style across the street, the soccer field. They're going to have They put platforms behind and front on the sides of the scoreboard. They put platforms behind first base where they're putting more bleachers. So they brought in probably a good set of 20 long bleachers. I mean, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be like bowled in like a like an arena, like the Sky Dome when we played when I was in the World Classic with USA Baseball. It's crazy. It's like it's crazy how many extra people are going to be fit into our softball field, which, you know, softball fields aren't very big, but it's going to be pretty intense.
You mentioned the excitement now about the softball program, people talking softball in Oxford. It's no secret Ole Miss in the springtime, it's a huge, great baseball program there that they've built there. You mentioned the football, the passion that they have for their football program. When you tell me about when you got there at Ole Miss to now and how things have changed, because you know when you got there, we talked about this when we had you on before the year. Is that you know people didn't think you can win in softball at Ole Miss in the SEC. That was, and people questioned the interest of softball at Ole Miss. Tell me about the evolution of that from when you got there to the present.
I'll tell you what, you know, it's like most people were telling us, "Hey, don't take this job; it's career-ender." This and that. Nobody has ever won. Nobody can win there. To now, I mean, it's crazy. We go anywhere in the city of Oxford. People know who Coach Mike is. People know who I am. People know who Taryn Mode is. We have strangers from everywhere. Anywhere you go in Oxford, at a football game, baseball, everybody knows who you are. And even the legends, you know, here at Ole Miss, they talk about softball and, you know, they call Coach and congratulate him. I mean, it's crazy how much following we have here, and it's something I've never seen as far as the last week or so. It's been incredible, the following and how hyped the university is for the program and the city of Oxford.
You mentioned Mike Smith, of course, came over from McNeese State, took the Ole Miss job, and has really done an incredible job. And I think people now are starting to appreciate what he has done at Ole Miss after winning the tournament, getting all those interviews afterwards and the SEC Network and so forth, and his personality coming out. I know you're not surprised, but what makes Mike Smith one of the best coaches in the country, and how has he been able to do this? A lot of people didn't think he could pull this off and make Ole Miss a national program like he's done it, but he's done it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just starts from all the hard work that we put in as a staff, especially him, me being the recruiting coordinator. I think us putting our recruiting connections together and putting our professional baseball background into our philosophy of how we manage the team and how we develop the kids into better ball players on an everyday basis, along with Taryn and Katie Rekovich, our volunteer assistant. I think us four, we gel really well together. We work together as a staff on an everyday basis. We meet every day, like, to, you know, just share different ideas. And I think just strategy-wise, too, Mike has a very aggressive mentality and plays the game the way it should be played, small ball mentality. We put a ton of pressure on you with small ball, stealing bases, hit and run, run and hit. Drag bunting, squeezing. We do a lot of things that will help, you know, put pressure on the defense and also, you know, on defense also just, you know, our cuts and relays, our, you know, our outfielders, our defenders. We work on defense a ton. And we tell our kids we got to be great at defense. Defense wins championships. And this, our year, our goal this year was to be number one in the SEC in fielding percentage, and it went till the last game against Missouri. We were in first place the whole way, and we had one error that Sunday game against Missouri, and we wound up, I think, 0.5 behind Florida. They beat us by 0.5 of a percentage point, which was pretty crazy.
Still pretty good. Still pretty good to end up right there among the nation's best there. We're speaking with Ruben Felix, assistant coach at Ole Miss. He gets set for the Oxford Regional this weekend. How valuable for the players was that experience last year, that being in that regional in Norman is going to pay off for those players that have been to a regional now and get set to play in this regional this year?
Very valuable. I mean, last year us going into Oklahoma, the best team in the country, going into their regional, their hostile environment, their big crowd, I think it helped us in the SEC tournament, helped us last weekend just because we had already been in a environment like that where we weren't playing at home and we were playing the top teams in the country, and us, you know, going to Oklahoma and playing them, getting to the championship game and playing them in a 0-0 ball game till the fifth inning, and we end up losing 2-0. And then at the beginning of this year, a lot of people don't know this, is we played Oklahoma to the wire again, and we almost got away with the win against them. We lost, I think it was 11-8, and we were down, I think, 6-0, wound up being back and forth, and we wound up losing. We had the winning run or the tying run at home play with two people on, and we ended up getting out, but we played them really well, and that, you know, helped our kids realize, like, hey, you know what, we can hang with the best teams in the country, and we did it last year, and we did it at the beginning of the year, so that was pretty awesome to score, you know, 8 runs on the national champions early in the season. It helped us believe that we were a great ball team, and I think we're the only school this year that has put up that many runs on Oklahoma and on Auburn, because we run-ruled Auburn 11-4.
Right.
Yep.
That's true. And you played them early in the year. And how big was that? You played Oklahoma early in Houston. You played out of conference. You traveled up to DeLand. You traveled up to the West Coast. That non-conference, you know, traveling away from Oxford, getting the girls away from the campus, and kind of it was a good bonding experience for that team, wasn't it?
Yes, for sure, because we had such a young team. I think last year we were the second youngest in the nation in the tournament. I think this year we're right there in the top five again, because I think we had 11 new kids this year. So it's good to take them on the road and play in hostile environments and not be at home where they're more comfortable. And I think it really helped us gel as a team. And you know, like we went to the DeLand and we run-ruled South Florida twice, and they're a top 25 team early in the season. So that was big for us to really play well against all those good teams early in the season.
I can't help but I did have a bit of a smile, obviously, when I saw you guys win the SEC championship, and then I also looked up and saw that North Dakota State won their conference tournament to advance to the NCAA tournament. And the reason I say that, because your former fellow assistant coach, Jerise Olson, you both coached together at UCF for 2 seasons. She won her tournament. She's in the NCAA tournament. I know you both played each other earlier in the year in the regular season, but that had to be a bit of a chuckle for you when you saw that both of you win a conference tournament championship on the same day.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always happy for, you know, colleagues or friends of mine that do well in their sport, you know, and even our, you know, players I coach or players that I recruited, you know, UCF girls have an okay season. So I'm always rooting for people that I've helped along the road or been friends with or recruited, and it's pretty cool to see other people succeed also.
8 host sites for the SEC. All 13 teams get in from the SEC. What does that say about the SEC? Your reaction when you saw that? Were you guys expecting everybody to get in? Were you curious? What was kind of the talk within the league about it?
I thought probably midway through the season that it was going to be a lock, as all 13 teams were playing really well. Outside of conference, I think every single team did really well against good teams also, and Power 5 conference schools, they had big wins. I mean, I know Georgia was at the bottom of the SEC, but they had a lot of good wins out of conference and early in the season. So, them playing well, South Carolina played well, Arkansas did real well this year. Mississippi State was right there with us up until the last game. We wound up 8th, and they wound up 9th in the conference. So I think halfway through the SEC, you know, it was pretty obvious that all 13 teams had a shot. Whether we were going to get in, I mean, that's not up to us. It's the committee. But I think everybody was more than deserving of getting in, especially with the strength of schedule that everybody had in the RPI.
I've talked about this week about I enjoy how the college baseball selections do the regionals. It's they pretty much go 16 best teams you're hosting, no questions about it. And yes, there's some travel consideration, but let's just, you know, see the championship the way it is. I feel like softball gives mixed messages. If I put you in charge of softball and the committee and how you would pick the best teams for the field of 64, having experience on both sides, how would you do this after what we've kind of gone through this week?
I mean, I think, you know, Minnesota obviously not getting a regional was you know, not good. You know, they're well deserving. They, you know, lost three games all year, and I've seen them play. I watch a lot of softball, and I've seen them play, and they're pretty good team. They're solid all the way around, especially in the circle. You know, I think the coach's voice, as far as the votes, the coaches, I think that's an important, you know, part of the puzzle. And I think, you know, like you said, with baseball, them having the, you know, the top 16 teams with, you know, RPI and coaches' votes and all that, I think that's something that could be, you know, brushed up a little bit and, you know, help people like that to for sure get in, especially when they're good all year long. I mean, I know their strength of schedule hurt them outside their conference, but, I mean, there's not a whole lot of ways you can control that. You know, they scheduled some good teams early. They just, those teams just didn't pan out and have a good season.
I just feel like we need more eye tests. Like, I feel like we somehow disregard that. We always crunch up numbers and schedules and non-conference and all that. What about an eye test? Watch games. Like, anybody that watched their team this weekend play at the SEC tournament left no doubt that you're one of the 16 best teams, and of course you deserve to host. I think if anybody saw Minnesota, they're one of the 16 best. I feel like we complicate this too much, especially in softball.
Yeah. I mean, I feel that, you know, winning your Power 5 conference and winning your Power 5 tournament, that should have a lot more pull, you know, as far as, you know, how you rank at the end of the season and your position going into the tournament. I think, you know, the Power 5, with Minnesota winning their conference and, you know, the conference tournament, that's a big, big accomplishment because it's not easy. The Big Ten is a good conference.
No question about that. When we last spoke, we talked about the World Baseball Classic leading up to it. Since then, the United States won the World Baseball Classic. Wanted your reaction on that. And, you know, I just thought about this, you know, with the Olympics now back with baseball and softball in 2020, you technically could be involved with U.S. baseball or softball, right? Take your pick.
Yeah. Believe me, I'll take either one. And I've thrown that around. I've thrown that idea at USA President Paul Seiler. I told him I'd love to be on the USA team again, especially for Olympics. That's, you know, 3 years away, whatever it is. But I'd love to do it either way, softball or baseball. It wouldn't matter. It's just getting to represent the U.S. in the Olympics would be so cool. And obviously after the World Classic, you know, being on that team with Jeter and all those guys, that was unbelievable. Even though we didn't win, but that was just an unbelievable experience for me and my family. It was pretty cool. And now my son is older. He's 10. And, you know, 3 years from now, he'll be able to remember and really take in that if I get picked to do the USA baseball again.
And it was good to see the United States back on top in the World Baseball Classic.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was awesome. I was pumped that, you know, a lot of the big dogs came and played, and especially the pitching was, you know, in those guys were in really good shape right off the get-go in the tournament. So it was awesome. It was awesome.
Yeah, I'm sure Jeter would have invited you to his ceremony if you weren't, you know, busy winning an SEC championship, right? I mean, that was a...
Yeah.
How about you think of that ceremony there? They announced him on Friday, Sunday night, and they gave him his number 2 jersey. That's it. There's no more single-digit Yankee numbers now.
No, that was awesome. I'll tell you what, a lot of people, I was, you know, blessed and privileged to have coached on that team with all those superstars, and Derek Jeter, what a classy guy, man. We developed a good friendship. You know, over the World Classic for 30 days, we're together. Funny story is on the bus, I'm superstitious, so I always sit in the fourth seat, and he always sat in the third seat. So when they came on the bus the first day we had practice, he came on the bus, and I was already sitting down in the fourth seat, and he kind of walked towards me. I'm like, oh, man, I'm in Derek Jeter's seat. And he looked at me, and I'm like, hey, is this your seat? And he goes, no, I'm the third seat. So he sat in front of me. I was like, whoa. So we developed a little bit of a friendship, you know, him sitting in front of me, we kind of small talked. And then, you know, at the time he was dating Minka Kelly, the girl from Friday Night Lights, and my wife was on the bus and my son. So we kind of, you know, talked back and forth on the bus with him and his girlfriend at that time. And we wound up, you know, talking and we're in Miami and there's a lot of people hounding them in the hotel. And I wound up speaking some Spanish to the guys in the kitchen. And the guys in the kitchen said, hey, we got an elevator where you don't have to go through the lobby. So Derek one day saw me go through there, and he goes, "Man, where'd you go?" I said, "Well, I went through the kitchen lobby to the elevator, so we don't get hounded by those people in the lobby." And he goes, "Man, I want to go with you." So the next day, he wound up going with me, and people in the lobby were all looking around like, "Where's Derek?" And everybody's laughing because he went through the service elevator with me, and we went up to our floor. But he's a heck of a guy, man. He's one of the best people I've ever met in the sport, and he's just a genuine guy. I was so happy and excited that as an Oriole when I was in Baltimore, I got to be at Old Yankee Stadium for Derek Jeter's last game ever at the stadium, which I'll never forget. That was an awesome ceremony back then also. So it was cool that I could go down and say that, you know, I was a teammate of his, you know, on the World Classic team.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool story there. I think Vic lost our conversation there when you mentioned Minka Kelly. At that point, he just kind of...
Anytime we mentioned the Captain Derek Jeter, I bow my head in reverence. Yeah, that's what I was doing.
All right, but Vic, there you go. Vic, we're going to start the campaign. We got to get Ruben to the Olympics. We got options here. We could do baseball. We could do softball. You know, they can share you, right? We could just share you during the Olympics. You go on one field for, you know, I think they're like a week apart. So you just go 1 week and then help out in the other. That'd be a pretty cool experience. So we're going to start campaign.
I'll stay and wait on the next team. Even Mexico. If Mexico wants me to coach Mexico, that's something I'd do in a heartbeat also.
Oh, that's true.
You know, having a Mexican family, my parents are I'm first generation American. My parents are from Mexico. I'm all over to coach Team Mexico in baseball or softball.
Oh, so you got some options here. I think we got something we can, I think this could work.
Yeah, but that's 3 years from now.
That's correct.
The focus and the attention is on this weekend. My thing, I want to know, how do you get your team, kind of what Eric was alluding to earlier, how do you keep your team focused on being from the Hunters in the SEC tournament to being the Hunted hosting your first regional? How do you keep your team focused with that matchup you have coming up versus Southern Illinois?
Well, the goal is obviously to get to the Women's College World Series, and they know that we got to this goal. We had our goal of getting to hosting a regional, and our next goal after that was to get in the Supers and be able to get to Oklahoma City, and they know that we have to play like we've been playing the last month and a half to be able to have a shot at a Super Regional, because even if we do win this regional, God willing we do, we still have to play the winner of the UCLA Regional, which is not going to be an easy regional either. So you know, we just tell them, don't look ahead so far, but focus in the moment and one game at a time.
For fans that will tune in this weekend on the field, what's going to be the key to be successful in advance past this regional? What are some of the things you're going to have to do on the field to advance?
I think we're just going to have to play like the underdog, just like we have been all year in this conference, and play, Southern Illinois on Friday like they are Florida. And if we do that, you know, we can beat anybody in the country. Obviously, we proved that last weekend, but we just got to live off what we did last weekend and roll it into this weekend and play hard and focus on playing good defense and pitching well and getting some timely hits.
Check out OleMissSports.com for all the latest on Ole Miss softball and the details for this weekend's regional in Oxford. It'll be televised through the ESPN Family of Networks. Eric Collins and Amanda Scarborough will have that. So just follow it there. Assistant coach Ruben Felix of the Ole Miss Rebels gets set to host the program's first ever regional. Coach, congrats on making history. We wish you the best, obviously, this weekend, the regional. You know we're rooting you on, and have some fun, and hopefully we get to see you dance some more, right?
That's right. This time, hopefully, I'll be a little cleaner on my windmill, but I'll still take it. I'll take another championship this weekend.
Sounds good, Coach. Good luck.
Thank you guys for having me on.
And that's Ruben Felix, assistant coach of Ole Miss. Vic, pretty good insight there.
Yeah, it's a very exciting time in Oxford, Mississippi, and it has nothing to do with Hugh Freeze and his football program.
No, or baseball.
No.
So it should be good. Should be a good regional there. So that will kind of conclude our kind of look at the regionals. Just to kind of few reminders, we have currently from this week posted an interview with Patrick Wright, radio voice of LSU, previewing the Baton Rouge Regional with LSU, Louisiana Lafayette, McNeese State. We have a also a podcast with Adam Schick, longtime radio voice of the Florida Gators, to preview the Gainesville Regional. Vic and I will be out there in Gainesville.
That's right.
Vic hasn't been there since 2005. I haven't been there in, well, a month. So I guess the good news is I'll be your tour guy.
Thank you.
I've been there every year since 2008.
You can show me where.
Although this is a first. That'll be the first odd year regional I'll be at for you.
You like the San Francisco Giants of softball. You go to Gainesville every even year.
Oh, yeah. I already got it planned out for next year. Looking forward to it.
Pretty much. We got to see our good friend Kelsey Horton, who does the commentary for the Gators softball.
He'll be in
broadcast.
There. We'll see a lot of good people up there. There'll be an interesting regional. So look for us on Vic and I will be in Gainesville. We'll probably tweet photos. And from the regionals there. So look for that as we'll try to also be the postseason. And depending on the schedule, how it looks for the super regionals, we're going to also try to head out to the super regionals. We got a lot of interesting options that we could potentially be, Vic.
Yes, we do.
We could have a Florida-Minnesota super regional. We could have a Florida-Alabama super regional. Potentially we could be covered. We could have Florida State LSU super regional. So we got a lot of options.
Yes.
So just keep it on in the Circle. In fact, Vic, tell the audience where they could keep track.
They can follow us on Twitter and Facebook, In the Circle SB. Subscribe to our podcast on Podomatic and Apple Podcasts. Send us an email, InTheCircleSB@gmail.com. And, of course, our blog, InTheCircleBlog.wordpress.com. And we would like to officially inform everybody listening to this podcast that our Monday reaction, mainly Eric ripping the selection committee about Minnesota not being a national seed, was the most downloaded and viewed blog in the history.
And podcast.
And podcast. In the history of In the Circle, and our record was shattered in 4 days.
Yeah.
In 4 days.
Monster numbers, lots of feedback, lots of reaction from across the sport. Certainly appreciate that. And, I think the positive, I think, Vic, is we kind of will wrap that part of it up is I think this could turn into a positive in the long run. A lot of people have spoken up. You saw Coach Hutch from Michigan spoke up, very critical of the committee. And I hope, other media outlets have certainly has become a story. I hope that this could turn into a positive that maybe this will help kind of fix whatever issues we have to fix with the committee and the selection process moving forward down the future. And I think that's the positive because, look, I mean, obviously, yes, I've been critical over the years of the selection and it's kind of people are like, but now people understand this was a significant story. The Minnesota Gophers are the number one ranked team in the country in the NFCA poll, and they're not hosting. And my hope is that this will help the sport down the road and maybe fix. Sometimes it takes something like this to maybe fix the sport. That's my only optimistic hope of this. I hope that a year or two from now, we look at when brackets come out, you're like, wow, they did a good job. You know, maybe I don't agree with this, but you know what? That was fine. I understand it. And maybe this is a wake-up call that we've needed, right?
Hopefully. You're hopeful that is the case, but there are still a few people out there. We've gotten replies about this that people are still harping on the schedule and the lack of people that they didn't play. If for those who have not, who are still on that argument, number one, what's wrong with you? And number two, read the blog that Eric did a tremendous job on. And I want to commend you on your research. Find me another individual in college softball that does the work and the due diligence and crunches the numbers like my colleague Eric Lopez did for his article on Minnesota and not being a host and a national seed. The numbers are fascinating. And if you talk about you're a numbers individual, that article will end your argument right there.
Yeah, I mean, I break down some numbers that would kind of throw myth and flaws into that whole argument about their schedule strength.
And we also talked about it on our podcast as well when we were talking about Minnesota and comparing their resume to other teams. But you know what? As Jessica Allis just said, that's done. We can't get a do-over. Our focus and our energy is going to be right here with the regionals. We're going to be in Gainesville.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be exciting. And we're going to talk about it on our next podcast.
Yeah, we'll definitely have that down the road soon as well. And, yeah, I certainly encourage you to check out the blog I wrote about Minnesota not hosting a black eye for the sport. And, you know, like I told, we talked to Coach Felix about it. Eye test. Watch games. If you watch teams, like if you watch the Ole Miss, you know they're one of they deserve the host.
Yes.
If you watch Minnesota, you know they're one of the best teams. I sometimes we complicate some of this.
We
stuff.
Do.
Real quick, due to all the stuff going on this week with Minnesota and the host regional stuff, Vic, Division Two.
Yes.
I want your quick thoughts before we sign off. Regional's done. Some shocking results. We're now in the super regional stage of Division Two. The floor is yours. Kind of give me your thoughts on what to expect here in Division Two.
Look, Division Two is very interesting. Let's start off with the region that we follow heavily, the South Region. For the fourth time in 5 years, Eric, the 6th seed goes to the super regional, and it's the Lee Flames knocking off North Alabama and St. Leo to get to the super regional, taking on West Florida. That's going to be an intriguing series. West Florida lost to Rollins last year who was a sixth seed in Valdosta. So the Argos trying to avoid a little deja vu in the super regional round. And you talk about the good karma that a lot of coaches that we had on the podcast on the D1 side, the Division II karma, not as good. West Texas A&M, who was in contention to be number one seed in the South Central Regional, they got eliminated. St. Leo, who won the Sunshine State Conference Championship, they got eliminated versus Lee. And it's a wide open super regional. I think Angelo State's the team to beat, but Westchester is going to be a team to look forward to, and Cal State Monterey Bay is also a team to look out for as well. Be intriguing to see which 8 teams go to Salem, Virginia. As a matter of fact, we're going to put it on record right now. Whichever school wins the national championship in Division II, we will work to try and get the head coach of those national champions, whoever they may be,
there you go,
here on In the Circle, because that's what you fans deserve. You deserve to hear from the champs.
And in the meantime, Vic will break down the World Series field next week as well,
yes,
in future podcasts as well on In the Circle. So we'll keep you in mind on that. All right, that'll do it for this edition. Thanks to Ruben Felix, an assistant coach of Ole Miss. Thanks to everybody who's joined us this all week. Adam Schick, Patrick Wright, Ruben Felix, get you covered. We'll tweet out. Hope to see some of you in Gainesville. Say hello. Vic's the one that, how do I describe you? Red.
Eclectic. Eric's the talker. I'm kind of I'm the strong silent type.
We'll be out there Saturday and maybe even Sunday as well. And we'll tweet out throughout the regionals. Enjoy the postseason, everybody. For Vic, I'm Eric. This has been another edition of In the Circle. Let the games begin.